Joshua chapter 24. Look at verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Joshua 24:15. I heard pages, so I'm going to wait. Make sure we're all there to see the text. Doesn't matter what I say. It matters everything in the world what the Bible says. What I say is only to expound the Scripture, but the Scripture is what we need. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That statement right there is more than a clever verse to hang on your door or to place on your doorbell. That's the Word of God. And Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. There's no question in my mind or my heart or really the minds and hearts of the folks that are here that you want to do a powerful work with your words. Your words are powerful. Your spirit is powerful. You're powerful. We are the weak ones. And so first of all, I pray, Father, and ask you to strengthen my weakness by your grace, that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ may rest upon me, that you may accomplish in this sermon exactly what you want to accomplish in my life and in the lives of all of us that are gathered here. May your Holy Spirit prevail in our minds and our hearts and our spirits, so that you can, through the preaching of your words, get down to the very core of our spirit, of our heart, and show us what we must do about this text. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us all to be very attentive and responsive to your Holy Spirit. Help our minds to concentrate on you, to meditate upon you and your words, and not to be distracted. Hold out those distractions and those wicked attempts by our adversary to steal the words before they ever get to the ears or out of the hearts before they ever take root. That you may be honored and glorified, and that your word may accomplish that whereunto you've sent it, that our lives may change to your glory. We ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We studied this morning in Sunday school in here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And the Bible says in that passage, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times are dangerous times. And the reason that the times are dangerous is that the things that you see listed in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 that describe the perilous times are not things that are just going on out in the world. Those are things now that have come into the church. They're happening in our homes. They're happening in our churches. They're happening in our lives. And our homes are in serious danger of moral collapse. Our homes are in serious danger of spiritual collapse in these perilous times. And the question is, how can we stem the tide of apostasy that is carrying churches and Christians out to sea? How do we stop that? And one thing that we can do is found in this passage. One thing we must do is we must choose whom we are going to serve. We must choose to serve the Lord. You see, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you chose to receive what He has done for you. All right? But what that does is that puts you into Christ. That gives you eternal life. But that doesn't then say that you're going to serve the Lord. You have been the recipient of a gift. You've been recipient of Jesus Christ. There's another choice, and that choice is, like Joshua, we must choose to serve the Lord. Now, before Joshua died, this is the last chapter of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. Before his death, Joshua charged Israel to choose whom they would serve. And he made a case. He made the case for serving the Lord by recounting everything that God had done for Israel up to this point where they're going to make the choice. If you look at Joshua chapter 24 with me here in verse 2, Joshua chapter 24 verse 2, Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood, and he's talking about a river. In the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, so it'd be over the other side of the Euphrates River, and the father of Nahor, they served other gods. Verse 3, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came under the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season, 40 years. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side, Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I set the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not. And you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore, you see all that I've done for you, he says? Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that amazing? When Joshua made the case to them and said, I'm going to serve the Lord, I've made that choice, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. When he said that, he said, "And here's look at all that God has done for you." In other words, he is a God whom you should serve because of all the things that he's done. Now let me ask you something. Hasn't the Lord done great things for you? He's given you eternal life. He's forgiven all of your sins. He's made you free from some terrible sins and even from some consequences of sin that held you in bondage. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He's renewed your mind. He's pulled down some strongholds. He's cast down your wicked imaginations. He's brought your thoughts to the obedience of Jesus Christ. He's promised you an inheritance in heaven. And he's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you his righteousness. He's given you his words, his pure words. to guide you daily, and to bear everlasting fruit in your life. And that's not everything. That's just naming a few of the things that He's done for you. And may I tell you something? The Lord sure has been good to you. The Lord sure has been good to me. I mean, you see, He got us away from the Euphrates River. He got us into Egypt for a period of time when we needed to eat. He got us out of Egypt. He got us away from Pharaoh. He got us into the wilderness. He got us out of the wilderness. And He put us into the promised land, and He defeated all of our enemies. And here we are, Joshua says. Who are you going to serve? The gods back there that God moved your father Abraham from? The gods of the Amorites that are here? Are you going to serve the Lord God that got you here and gave you all these things? Well, Joshua stated unequivocally, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How about you and your house? How about you and your house? Listen, if you and your house, and why do you keep saying your house? Because somebody, Joshua made a choice for his family. And his family went along with it. Now I realize there'll come a time when your children are old enough, and I'm talking about when you're no longer paying their bills and they're no longer sleeping in your beds and eating at your table. There'll come a time when they have to make their own choices, okay? The world somehow or another says when they're 18 they make their own choices even though they're still eating your food and enjoying your air conditioning and living under your roof. That's the world. That's not you. Joshua said, I've made this decision, and I made this decision for me, and I made this decision for my house. And we're going to serve the Lord. And if you and your house are going to serve the Lord, there are some things in this text that you must do. You can see them right here, so you'll know this is what God said, not what I said. But I'll tell you what He said. First thing you got to do is verse 14. You have to fear the Lord. You have to fear the Lord. You must fear the Lord. And do you know something? The Jews didn't fear God. This is the problem. This is at the root of what happened when they go through this discourse. You'll see how it unfolds. You'll see how the Jews answer. But he knew these people. He'd been out there in the wilderness with them for 40 years. He knew them. He said, I know one thing about you. You don't fear God. Fear the Lord. Now, they feared Him when they heard Him speak it. At Horeb, you know, when He came to Mount Sinai to speak. If you go back there and you look at Exodus chapter 19, the trumpet is sounding louder and louder, and they see the smoke, and they see the fire, and they see the clouds, and they see the lightning, and they're like, oh, man. And the Bible says, they trembled. When we read in the New Testament about the great faith of all these men like Moses, you know how Moses reacted to that? The Bible says, listen to this, you're not coming to the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, talking about Sinai when the Ten Commandments were given, and that burned with fire, nor under blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words. You know, when the Ten Commandments were given, God did write them on stone, but they heard God speak those words in Exodus chapter 20. And so He says here, the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They said to Moses, you figure out what He wants us to know and you tell us. We don't want to hear that anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. If so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And listen, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That was Moses' reaction. We say, oh, he was up there 40 nights and 40 days fasting with God, and he came down the second time and it was so good, his face was shining. Yeah, we got all that. He said, you know what? It was so terrible. I exceedingly fear and quake. Do you know that God that appeared there on Sinai that day is the same God that is in here right now, about whom we are reading right now? The only difference is you can't see His smoke and lightning and fire. That would be quite a show. I mean, over here like this, and all of a sudden just, you know, you see all that behind the pulpit, you'd be going like, whoa, that's weird. No, you can't hear that. You hear a man, and you know me, and you know that I'm made of the same flesh you're made of, and you're like, oh, well, Is this coming from a man? Okay, well, let's get me out of the picture and let's get you out of the picture. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord. And you say, yeah, but that was back in those days. We're not supposed to tremble. I disagree. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to do and to good, to will of His good pleasure. He wants the response from us to be exactly the same as it was from Moses when he was in the presence of the Lord. May I ask you something? Is the Lord in this room right now? You can't see Him and you can't feel Him, but He is here just as much as He was on Sinai. And so He deserves just as much fear as He did then. He doesn't have to put on a lightning show for you to get the tremble. His words are enough to make that happen. You say, well, yeah, but when He speaks from Sinai, they should be enough. I don't agree. I don't believe the Bible agrees. The Bible says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Isaiah 66:5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Do you tremble at His word when you read this book? Do I tremble at these words when I read this book? You know what that is? It's like when you read this, it's like God is talking to me, and in this book He said for me to do this, and I fear Him that if I don't, I will suffer the consequences of a bad decision. Now listen, God gave His printed words. You have them. They're in your lap. I have them. They're up here on the pulpit. And God gave His preachers to talk with you. And we are to tremble at His words. You know what Joshua told them? He said, you're supposed to, you got to choose. And He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's what He said in verse 15. And they said, you know what they said? They said, we'll read it in a minute. But He said, yeah, we'll serve Him. And look at what He said in verse 19. Look what Joshua said in verse 19. Joshua said unto the people, you can't serve the Lord. He said, choose you this day whom you serve. He said, you can't serve the Lord. For He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Wow. They didn't fear Him. You know what it's like? It's like what Paul said in Romans chapter 3. When he's describing, you know, their mouth is an open sepulcher and all that kind of stuff, and they're all guilty before God. You know what he said? He said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And you and I, we must fear God. Now, unlike the Jews in Joshua's day, because he said to them, He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Isn't that what he said in verse 19? Is that what he said? Unlike that, He has forgiven our sins. He has forgiven our transgressions. When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and you were saved, the Bible says your sins, they're gone. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He forgave you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We are better off than they were. So you know what? We should fear God more, but we don't. Because our sins have been forgiven, we fear God less. Say, well, what's to fear? They're already taken care of. Listen. You and I cannot sincerely, that's what he said here, you can't serve the Lord. You and I cannot sincerely serve the Lord without fearing God. Otherwise, it's just an act. David said in Psalm 2, verse 11, he said, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Did you know, according to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, that your children are supposed to fear you? We saw that this morning in Sunday school. But he says, you are supposed to fear your mother and your father. Now, I took a poll this morning in Sunday school and asked how many of you had a dad that you feared. And all of us that had gray hair, we all had dads we feared. And so then this generation said, "Whoa, we don't want doing like that." And I thought, "Well, why don't you want doing that? You're in church today. You're doing well. You need a God-fearing father, and you need to fear a God-fearing. How do you expect that your children are going to fear God if you don't fear the Lord? How do you expect that your children are going to fear you if you don't fear God?" It's a strange thing. But it seems flipped these days. It seems now that parents fear their children and fear their children's rejection, and they'll do anything to placate that fear. It's flipped upside down. It's not right. We have to give them this, or we have to give them that, or they may leave, or they may say this, or they may not come. How did that happen? Well, I know one of the things that happened is people quit fearing God in their homes. Unless you fear God, you will never choose to serve the Lord with the rest of your life. First thing. Second thing he said here is, he said in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord," and then he said, "serve Him in sincerity and truth." What is sincerity? Sincerity is very simply honesty of mind and freedom from hypocrisy. It's the real deal. That's sincerity. Honesty of mind, so that you're honest here and honest with what comes out of here, and honest, free from hypocrisy. You know what you see today? You see a lack of sincerity in Christians. That's what you see. They're not honest with God, they're not honest with others, and they're not honest with themselves before God. Somehow or another, they've dreamed up this thing that, well, I'll tell you what they are, they're hypocrites. Let's do this. Pretend for a moment that I'm not here in the pulpit and you're not sitting there in the pew, and that we have some distance between us, and that you can hide from this session of preaching the truth by saying that you're mixed in with a couple hundred other people that are here. You know, people do that. You talk to them about their soul and they say, "Yeah, well, everybody's a sinner." What they've just done is they've hid in the world and become one of everybody else. And if God's mad at me, then He's got to be mad at the whole world. And let's pretend that we're not that. Let's just pretend you and I are sitting in my office and we don't have that much distance between us, or we're just right here sitting in one chair and the other chair on the same side of the desk, and we're having a conversation about this. And I say to you, "You know what, if I'm going to be able to help you in any way, we got to be honest with each other. You don't have any, there, it's not going to help you if you've come for counsel. It's not going to help you to paint your bad situation as a pretty picture, because there's no scripture that I have to give you that addresses your pretty picture. We have scripture that addresses the mess of your life, so why don't you just display the mess of your life and we can talk about it." That's sincerity. That's sincerity. So let's be sincere about this and be honest and not be hypocrites. The truth of the matter is, in here today, right here, I'm not addressing that we need to serve Him in sincerity and truth as if people out there need to hear this. I'm talking to people in here. In our congregation today, it's not a judgment call, it's just an obvious call because we've got so many people. There's some hypocrites in here. There's some hypocrites in here. I can look at myself in the mirror and say, "Hey, buddy." So let's just get honest with each other, and let's not pretend that we're in a big church with a lot of people right now and we can hide our insincerity. Let's just get down and dirty with God right now. Amen. I'm talking to some folks who know how to pretend. I'm corresponding with a young man right now, and have been over a period of time, long period of time. And you know, one of the things that refreshes me in our correspondence, I'm refreshed by his honesty. Right now, his life is a mess. But you know the neat thing about it is, he's absolutely honest about it. He says, "My life is a mess. Look at all this stuff." Now, when he tells you that his life is a mess, and it is a mess, at least now you know we're dealing with somebody that's trying to be honest to a degree anyway. So when he struggles, he tells me he's struggling. And when he tells me he's struggling, and we're talking or texting, the Lord will give me a verse, and I give him the verse, and the Lord uses that to encourage him if he's discouraged, or to reprove him if he's out of line, or to instruct him if he needs to know where to put his foot down for the next right step. I realize that he's coming out of a stinky ditch. And so does he, and we're all cool with that. And the verses of Scripture apply to the very things that are going on because he's not lying about how bad the situation is. You don't even know how refreshing that is. Not that he's in a mess, but that he can be honest about it. Now, when I give him the verse of Scripture, and he follows what God says, you know what happens? The mess gets cleaned up a little bit. And the coolest thing in the world, listen, this is what's so cool about it. There is a God in heaven who's orchestrating all of this. And he's just saying, I want you to deal with me in sincerity and in truth. Okay, so the sincerity is, my life's a mess. The truth is, here's the Scripture. He'll go to church a day or two after a conversation, and his preacher will preach on that thing. I'm telling you, man, you know the coolest thing about it? I mean, he's in a church that's larger than our church, and when the preacher starts preaching on the very thing that he had a question about, and the very thing that God gave him a verse of Scripture on, it is as if he is the only person in the room, and God is taking care of him. And he's not the only person in the room. It's just that everybody in the room that is dealing with God in sincerity and in truth, God is dealing with as if they were the only one in the room. That's why I said, why don't we just pretend for a moment you and I are sitting in the office. And we're not hidden behind the fact that there's so many of us in here. Because God is dealing with you and will deal with you in the area of your life where you need help. If you will be sincere with him, there is truth in this message today to help you with that problem. But if you want to come in here pretending that the mess you have is a... You know what it is? You know what it is? It's like art. To me, art should be something that represents something that's real. You look at a landscape and you go, wow, that is so beautiful. And then you look at a Picasso and it's just... What? I don't even know what that is. You know what it is? It's a mess that sells for millions of dollars. Your mess can't sell for $1 million. It's not pretty art. It needs help. But God can't help you if you're not going to be sincere. It's amazing. Little by little, this fellow has been following the light of God's words and he's growing. You know what? What God is doing for him is just like what God did for Israel in Joshua chapter 24, verses 2 through 14. He got them out of Egypt. He wiped out their enemies who came after them. He fed them with manna. He got them to the promised land. And then he defeated the inhabitants of the land and gave all that to Israel. God's doing that in this young man's life. Why? Because he's dealing sincerely with God. I'm a mess and I need help, and the truth is just bang, 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 and building a life. You know what he's doing? He's taking this trash that sells for $1 million called a Picasso, and he's turning it into a beautiful landscape. I'm corresponding with another young man, and he's a hypocrite. I mean, no kidding. Now, he doesn't know he's a hypocrite. But I know he's a hypocrite. He's not honest with God. He doesn't follow the counsel of God's words. And he's self-willed. He's already made up his mind that he's going to do what he wants to do. And as he gets the counsel and so forth, and I mean, I have poured out my heart for him in prayer. I have sought God for the counsel to be given. I give him the counsel. I know it addresses the problem. And I am talking to the wall. I only did it because that's what I believe God wanted me to do. When I visit with him, listen, he talks like he wants to serve the Lord. He talks like he wants to serve the Lord even though, even more than the other guy whose life is a mess, who is serving the Lord. He's just saying what he thinks I want to hear. You know what that smells like to a preacher? A four-letter word that Paul used in the New Testament. Dung. After a while of doing this, you know, I am so thankful for y'all and your love for me, my love for you. I'm so thankful. I've got a constant reminder sitting in the office on the conference table of the Stampede, a gift that y'all gave me for 25 years in the pastorate. Now, I'm going to tell you something. After being 25 years in the pastorate, you get a nose to kind of smell out this poo-poo. I mean, that thing in there is it's a cattle stampede. You know what cattle do when they stampede? They poo-poo. And I'm in here and I'm dealing with a bad cow here. Woof. Because he's saying just what he thinks I want to hear. You know what he's like? Look in verse 16 of our passage. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And look what the people said in verse 16. The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. They said the right words. They had no intention of doing that. They weren't sincere. That's why Joshua said, you can't serve the Lord. Because he knew that was just a talk. That was just a put on. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Why would you even think that about us? Because you don't deal with God sincerely. Listen, until you are daily in God's words and following what God shows you to do in His words, you will not be serving Him. Let me say it again. Until you are daily in God's words and doing what God's words show you to do, you will not be serving the Lord. You say, well, I'm teaching Sunday school. Yeah, well, you're teaching Sunday school because somebody gave you a job to do. But if you're not in this book and letting God talk to you, you're not serving the Lord. You're serving your idea of what you think God wants you to do. Because it's this book that guides you the way God wants you to do it. You're doing it the way you want to do it. That's not sincerity. So how do you know that we're not reading daily? Because I've talked to some of you who've been here a pretty long time. And one, you know, in the course of a 2-hour conversation or an hour or whatever, I might say to you, hey, by the way, have you ever read through your Bible cover to cover all the way? No. There you go. Help me here. Sincerity. Hey, help me here. Amen. And I say that to help yourself. you need to say, Lord, I have neglected you and your words, and here I've been talking about needing to serve you. I just need to get down here and get honest with you and tell you, my life is trash right now. You got some truth here to help me? And I'm telling you, God will show up for that meeting and change your life. And the Jews wouldn't do that. And Christians a lot of times don't do that. So he says, you want to serve the Lord? Here you go. First of all, you got to fear the Lord. Secondly, you got to serve Him in sincerity and then truth. Let that truth apply to the sincere condition of your soul. And then he said this in verse 14, put away the gods. Put away the gods. Didn't he say that? He said, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now you see, making the choice to serve God is not just merely a profession. They said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's a profession. That's what that is. We're going to have an invitation at this end of the message, as you might have expected. And some of you, hopefully, Not for my sake, but for the Lord's sake, if He's accomplished something in your heart today that He wanted to do, we'll come to the altar and you will talk to God. That's not the end of it. Making a choice. That's not the end of it. Well, I chose. And walk out and go right back to the same gods that you had before you came in here. That doesn't work. He said, I want you to put away the gods. Look at verse 18. The Lord drave out from before us all the people and even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, they said, this is what they're saying. Joshua, the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. That's their profession. Oh man, what a profession. But you know something? Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. There was a problem. Joshua told them to put away the strange gods. Look at verse 23. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. They were there. They're sitting here making this great profession before him, and they've still got them in their pocket, in their tents, in their possession. And he says, you want to serve the Lord? Get rid of those gods. They said, well, we're going to serve the Lord. Great profession. He says, you can't serve the Lord. You know why? Because he knew they still had those gods. Put away those strange gods, he said. You know what they replied to him? Look at verse 24. He said, put away, said he, the strange gods in verse 23. They said in verse 24, the Lord our God will we serve and his voice will we obey. You know what they, you see that? Three times they said, we're going to serve him. He said twice, put away the gods, and they never said okay. They never got rid of the problem. They ignored the command. So you know what they did after Joshua died? Turn to Judges, it's the next book. Look at chapter 2 and look at verse 12. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 12, Joshua's dead, and look what they do. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers. What? How in the world did they do that? Because they didn't do what they were told to do about the gods. They didn't fear the Lord and they didn't deal with the Lord in sincerity and in truth. They're lying here in Joshua 24. They don't know they're lying because the profession sounds so good to them. They believe what they're saying. He said, I want to find out whether you tell the truth or not. Get rid of the gods! No answer. You know, Joshua had been traveling with these guys. Keep your finger in Judges 2 for a second. Joshua had been traveling with these guys for 40 years. You know something about Joshua? He knew them better than they knew themselves. And he knew they had strange gods. And he knew that if they didn't get rid of those strange gods, those gods would be a snare to them. Look at Judges chapter 2 verse 3. The Lord is speaking to Israel. He says, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides. Watch it. And their gods shall be a snare unto you. And the gods you have are a snare unto you. Look at verse 13. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtoreth. You know why it's so hard for you and your family to serve the Lord? It's so hard for you and your family to serve the Lord because you won't put away your gods. You say, oh, I don't have. The only God I got is the Lord God of the Bible. You sound just like these guys. You see, it's not enough to say that you will serve the Lord. You got to put away the gods. You say, well, we don't have any strange gods. You're not being sincere. Remember, that's the second point. You're not being truthful with God. His truth can't address your problem. You know what Christians do with their gods? They hide them like Rachel hid her father's gods in the camel's furniture. Remember when she left Laban and they all took off going back to Bethel? She took her father's images and then her father caught up with them and said, Jacob, I got a problem with you. First of all, you left without telling me goodbye. I couldn't kiss my daughters and say goodbye to my grandchildren. And second thing is, you stole my gods. He said, whoever stole the gods, let him die. So Rachel fortunately faked her father out, hid those gods in the furniture, and he searched everywhere, high and low, couldn't find those gods. She's sitting on them. And you know what you're doing right now? You are sitting on your gods. You got them, and you are covering them up, just like Achan did when he hid the Babylonian garment and the silver and the gold under his tent when he was told not to take that stuff from Jericho. You're doing it right now. Right this minute. Right now, they're under your seat. Hiding. So nobody else in the room will know that you got gods. You're like the Jews were in Ezekiel's day. You know what you do? You set up your idols in your heart. See, they don't have to be little images. They can be in here. And when you set up your idols in your heart, nobody else knows that you have them, but God knows you have them, and He says, I want you to serve me. You say, oh, I'll serve you. And God said, you can't serve me. Get rid of those gods. What gods? What God? I don't have any gods. Put away the strange gods from you. I've served the Lord. Put away the strange gods. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Get rid of the gods. What gods? The one you're sitting on. The one you have hidden in your heart. The one nobody else in the room knows that you have. You know, when people get caught with pornography, nobody else in the world knew they had it till they got caught. And then everybody knows. And immorality. Other things like that. Oh, no. You see, God knows. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looketh on the heart. He says, you going to get rid of that God or what? He said, do I have God? He said, anything that you hang on to that gets between you and God Almighty is God in your life. It can be money. It can be your movies, your social media, your music. You know, we can find out some of you guys just go out there and turn your car on. I'll just ride in the passenger seat. You drive. Let's flip through your channels and see how you're doing. Oh, well, preacher, can we get together next week? I'm kind of busy today. No, I'll say that because I had a friend of mine when we were in Bible college, and Bible college students were letting him work on their cars, and he says, man, I know who these guys are worshiping. They give me their cars to work on, and I work on them, and of course turn on the car, and the radio comes blaring, and I know what they're worshiping, and so does God. You got to fear God. You have to serve Him in sincerity and truth. And you got to put away your gods. See, I can't address your gods because I can't see your gods. But He can. And right now, His Holy Spirit has got His finger on your heart and you are nervous as a cat about this interchange right now because God nabbed you and you know it. And it's scaring you. And you're afraid to do anything about what you're hearing in the presence of anybody else here because you're scared to death that they're going to find out you and God were on the outs when you've been professing to be such a good person. Get over yourself. I'm telling you, we're in the office alone. Let God deal with you. He's had to deal with me. And then this. Fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, put away the gods, and then look. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, this is not a choice you make from day to day. Like, okay, today I'm going to choose to serve the Lord. And tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'll see who I decide I want to choose that day. That's the way most people are living their lives today. And God said, I don't want that. Joshua said, I don't want that. I want you to make a choice and I want you to make that choice today. And then I want you to live by that choice for the rest of your life. Don't wake up in the morning and see how the wind's blowing, figure out which way you're going to go. Listen, this is a choice that you make and then you stick with it. And he gave them three choices. He said, look, choose you this day whom you will serve in verse 15, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. You know what that's like? That's like going back and still messing with those sins that you did before you were saved. You say, Christians don't do that. Oh, they do it all the time. They don't let go. See, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He said, I'm free, but I still want what I had. That's like putting your family's demands, your father's gods, above God's demands in your life. You won't let them go. Or you can serve the gods that Christians serve. The gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Do you realize there are, like I said, there are gods in here. These are things that you're not supposed to do, but you do them because you know other Christians who do them, and you think as long as they're doing them, it's okay. And I've already mentioned those. Your music, your movies, your social media, your entertainment, your web browsing. Need I go on? There's a lot. You know, it's so common these days for kids raised in church to get into some bad stuff that you don't know about. Or he said, if you don't want to serve the gods of your fathers or the gods of the Amorites, you can serve the Lord. That's what he said here. Choose you this day whom you serve, the gods of your fathers, the gods of the Amorites, or, like me, as for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. You know, you can do what he wants you to do, and you can please him. Every day. Every day. And just say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to take my hands off of my life. I'm going to let you have my life and do what you want to do. I surrender. I present my body a living sacrifice. God, let's go. And you know what? If you will trust him, he'll take you through some areas that you don't want to go, of course. But all of that will be to train you, to prepare you, to all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And he's pleased, because that's why we're here. Now, you know what Joshua did? Joshua made his choice a long time ago. He didn't make his choice right here. He didn't say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and make that choice here. He's talking to them about a choice he made at least 40 years before this date. In Numbers 32, in verses 11 and 12, the thing that distinguished Joshua and Caleb from everybody else in Israel is they wholly followed the Lord. The spies went in, came in, raised an evil report on the land. They said, those guys will kill us. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And Joshua and Caleb said, we're ready to go in, and we're ready to go in right now. Let's fight. And the 10 spies convinced all of Israel not to go in. And Joshua and Caleb, listen, stood against all of the tribes of Israel and the 10 spies and said, we're ready to go in right now. They made a choice and wholly followed the Lord. Nothing was going to take them off of that. 40 years he put up with this, and then God said, okay, Joshua, you lead them in. You lead them in, and Joshua got his inheritance, and Caleb got his inheritance. You know why? Because they made a choice, listen, and they stuck with it. They didn't vacillate. Now you got to make a choice. If you haven't already made the choice to serve the Lord, you gotta make it someday. You're a Christian, you've gotta make that choice someday. A preacher, you know what a preacher did? They had a special meeting like we've got one coming up, and you know what they call their special meeting? Some people call them Friend Day, some people call them Beast Feast and all that. They had a special day. You know what they called it? They called it Someday Sunday. They called it Someday Sunday. You say, well, why'd they come up with that name? Because everybody we invite says, yeah, I'll come down there someday. So they made Someday Sunday. Said, your someday has come. Joshua said, choose you this day. Why don't you make your someday this day? Why don't you make the choice now? Why don't you fear God? He said, I don't know how. The Bible says if you get into this book and you incline your ear to it, he'll teach you how to fear the Lord. Put away your strange gods. You say, but I want to let go of those. You're going to have to let go of them at some point. Serve God sincerely, in sincerity, and in truth. And choose you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Father, I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. People say, homes are not doing well because of this and that. I believe we found out. I believe we got down to the root of it today. You did with your words. And I'm asking you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. Father, there are people here to whom you have spoken. You've spoken to me. You've spoken to these that are here. This isn't going to do us any good if we walk out of here and we just puffed our knowledge with more information from the Word of God. This has to be a life-changing message. Now, maybe there's some here that are just not really ready. They're not ready to let go of the gods. At least they can be sincere with you and say, I choose you, Lord, but I got a God here I do not want to let go of. Well, it's not good. Not good. But at least it's sincere. There are other people here today, Father, you've put your finger right on something in this message dealing with their lives, and they need to knock it off and make the choice to serve you with everything they've got for the rest of their lives. If you're here today and Jacob, start playing. If you're here today and God's spoken to you, you know, this is not the kind of choice you just make in your seat, I don't think. There was a day when Moses told these folks after they started worshiping that golden calf, he said, he just kind of like drew a line in the sand. He said, who's on the Lord's side? And some people crossed. Levi crossed, and they were God's inheritance, and God was their inheritance the whole way. Listen, if you're ready to make a choice to do these things God's way, why don't you make that choice today? Why don't you and God get together and you just say, okay, Lord, you got me, you're right. I intend to make this thing and make it stick. By your grace, I'm going to let that God go. I'm going to leave that thing at the altar. I am done. I am done. I am done. I'm not going to play this church game anymore. We're going to do it real, do it right. Teach me to fear you. Guide me with your truth. Pry that God loose by the grace of God and make a choice. Make a choice. And make it stick. Now you're here today and you can't even make this choice because you've never even received Jesus Christ. I didn't preach the gospel, but you understand this is a message for Christians. You say, you know what I need to do? I need to choose Jesus Christ as my Savior. Is there anybody here right now that would raise their hand? Our associate pastor Randy's looking. Is there anybody right now say, preacher, I need somebody to show me the gospel. I need to make sure I'm saved before I can do any of this other. Please help me. And our associate will gladly show you from the scripture how to receive Jesus Christ. Is there anybody, is the Spirit of God working in the life of any person here to say, yes, I need Jesus. I don't know where I'm going when I die. All right, well, perhaps there are some that aren't saved, but hands aren't raising, then God will still deal with you. The rest of us, we got to get serious about God. I'll give you an opportunity to come to this altar now, and I'm going to pray for you, and some have already been, some are going back. Bobby's going to lead us in song. Father, I ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have your will and your way amongst our people. Help us with these choices and help us to stand by the choices you helped us to make. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.